we've heard the glories and the power of chanting Krishna's names. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ends the first verse of his Shikastak by saying Pram Jayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, which means that the holy names will be victorious over the material world and they will reinstate one in one's actual position of a loving servant in the service of Krishna. So the seven effects of chanting Hare Krishna begin with cleansing the heart. Pona Amrita Sadaram Savapma Snapanam, that chanting Krishna's names, it is like bathing the soul in nectar, and it places one in an unending ocean of bliss. It is the life of knowledge, and knowledge follows Krishna consciousness or chanting Hare Krishna, just like a wife naturally follows her husband. So many effects are there from chanting the holy name. So when we hear this, we naturally become enthusiastic to chant. So we try to chant attentively. And then what do we find out? First of all, that when the mind chants attentively, or when we chant attentively, and we concentrate on the sound vibration, it's quite wonderful. But oh, we find out that it's so difficult to do. At least, that's what some of us find out. How have you been doing in your chanting? Have you been able to? Yeah, why not? Why not you? If my hand was a little longer, I'd turn it around, this little thing over here.
Sometimes, yes, sometimes, depends on the mood.
On the mood. How did you do with your chanting? Did you try to listen to one mantra at a time?
Tried, but very, very success. Not much success.
Did you listen to one mantra? Very good. That's a great success. How is your chanting?
Now there is the book.
Yes.
The
mind, practically speaking, says, no, I'm not going to chant. I have something else more important to do. And what is that such important thing that you have to do? The mind will give us a list of non-important things to do. Because really there's nothing else that should be done except listening to Krishna's holy name. So Mahaprabhu gives that first verse of the Shikasta, Cheto Dorpana Marjanam, Prabhava Mahadavagni Dalapanam, to glorify the holy name and its victoriousness over the entirety of material conditioning, bringing us to the highest platform. And indeed, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the holy name will bring me to Goloka Vrindavan, and it will award me my spiritual transcendental body. So how glorious is, how powerful is the holy name. So the second verse that Mahaprabhu recites or says, or offers, is this nam namakari bahudamiva sarva shakti. That, oh Krishna, your names Bahuda Nija Shakti, they are full of your potency. The name of Krishna, Abhinatam Namanamano, it is Krishna. Krishna, the person and the one who is named, are exactly the same. And one who is highly advanced experiences Krishna, the person, with every utterance of the name of Krishna. So nam nama kari vuhudiniva sava shaktis tatrapita niyamata smarane nakala. And different from religious rituals, even the Vedic religious rituals, Krishna's names, there's no rules and regulations. There's no time restrictions. One can chant Hare Krishna at all times, at all places, in the dirtiest place, in the cleanest place, when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're miserable, when we're depressed, and I don't know what's lower, whatever, no matter what the situation is, we can chant Hare Krishna. And actually, whether we have full experience of it or not, we can actually associate with Krishna. So Krishna's names are no different from Krishna, and there's no restriction from chanting Krishna's names of time or place. Smarane nakala, no time or place restricts us. It's not that you can do it here and not do it there. No, we're always free to chant and hear Krishna's names. Itadrasi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi, Mahaprabhu continues. But although you have so kindly made yourself easily available through your holy names, because Krishna is there in his holy names and there is no restriction on chanting them. So although you have made yourself so kindly made yourself available through chanting your holy names, Dadaiva Midri Samihan Anujanu Raga. And that word durdaivam and raga, iha nanu raga. Raga means attachment or taste. Attachment, actually. Or taste. And durdaivam means unfortunate. And nanuraga means no taste. So unfortunate as I am, although you have made yourself so easily available through your holy names, my dear Krishna, unfortunate as I am, I have no taste, no attraction, no desire to chant. This is the definition of misfortune or unfortunateness. Usually, as we go through our life, we calculate our fortunateness, our unfortunateness, on a very superficial level. But actually, this is the one thing in this age of Kali Yuga that will make us fortunate or unfortunate. And that one thing is attraction, and the attraction to Krishna's holy names. If we can become attracted, attached to chanting Krishna's names, then we indeed are the most greatly fortunate persons. Although externally, on the material levels, things may appear unfortunate, but if we have that, we actually have everything. And in this world, it is very difficult to tell from the externals what is fortunate and what is unfortunate. Because the most fortunate thing, or rather, we'll start with the other side, the most unfortunate thing happening to us can cause us to hold on very tightly to the lotus feet of Krishna and hold on to chanting Krishna's names. And that misfortune, therefore, will turn into the greatest fortune because it has caused us taking full shelter of Krishna's names. And on the other hand, if something in the external world fortunate happens to us, and that may cause some pride to develop, or it may cause some material satisfaction to develop, and it may turn us away from thinking that we need the shelter of Krishna's holy names, and that fortunate thing therefore turns into the greatest unfortune, misfortune, because everything fortunate gained in this world will leave in time. And the shelter and the of Krishna's holy names and a taste for chanting is ours forever. So what is fortunate and what is unfortunate is very difficult to discern in this world if one has no spiritual knowledge. So regardless, practically the point is, regardless of whether we are in a fortunate or unfortunate situation, although people generally see their how unfortunate their situation is, they look at it like that. If somehow from that can spring forward the taking shelter and the attraction to Krishna's holy names, that is the most fortunate. So Durdaiva Midrisami Hananujanana. That is how one measures. One should actually measure fortune and misfortune. So our acharyas, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, have commented on this verse. Durdaiva Midrisami Hananujanuraga. And they've explained, what does Durdaiva mean? Unfortunate, how unfortunate I am. Although Krishna makes himself so easily available in his holy names, I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. Durdaiva Midrisami Hananujanuraga. So what is it that makes one unfortunate? What is it that makes us unfortunate and have no taste for Krishna's holy names? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has in two places commented on this. In one place he has divided our misfortune into four categories. The thing that caused our misfortune he's divided into four categories. The first is tattva vibhrama, which means we don't actually understand the philosophy. We don't understand who we are, because we usually think that this is me, the body. That is called it's not called knowledge, it is called ignorance. So knowledge means to understand who we are. That's part of knowledge. And secondarily, it is to understand who Krishna is, that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To know Him and to know who we are and to know the process of attaining the lotus feet of Krishna, attaining Krishna's service, is called understanding of tattva or truth or the philosophy. And the lack of these understandings and a lack of understanding of what is to be done and what is not to be done, this is the first cause of misfortune, because there will be no impetus to engage in chanting Hare Krishna seriously unless one has some transcendental knowledge. The second cause of misfortune, unfortunateness, is asat trishna. Trishna means thirst, asat means temporary. A thirst, a desire to enjoy those things that are temporary. And because we are eternal, in fact, we cannot enjoy those things that are temporary. Like oil cannot mix with water. We cannot, it is not possible for us to be satisfied or practically enjoy matter. But to have a taste for this, regardless of the fact that it is an impossible dream, it makes us durdaivam, or unfortunateness, unfortunate. Because we have that desire, we can never get a taste for chanting Krishna's names. I want to enjoy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, quoting from the Omnyaya Sutra, explains that taste to enjoy the things of this world, taste to enjoy heavenly delights, taste to enjoy mystic powers, to know everything, to really be able to manipulate the material world, and a desire for liberation. These are all in the category of asatrishna, the taste for the temporary that make us unfortunate and not be able to, again, unfortunate means we won't be able to have a taste for Krishna's holy names. The third category that he names is called Hridaya Dulabham, which means weakness of heart, which includes enviousness. It includes desire for position and prestige. These are a bit more subtle than the others. So these type of subtle things that pull us away, nisiraccha kutinati jivahimsam labha puja pratishtari yatta upasakagan, the weeds that grow along with our devotional creeper as we chant Hare Krishna, these pull us away and disallow us for having a taste for chanting Krishna's holy names, and therefore they make us unfortunate. The fourth one is called aparad, or offenses. And in his commentary on Sikshastak, on this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur only mentions this one cause of our being unfortunate, and that one cause is this cause, aparads, offenses towards four things he names. Offenses towards seva aparad, when one's worshipping the deities, offenses in that way, offenses against Vaishnavas, devotees, offenses against the holy name, namaparad, and the fourth one is offenses against ordinary people, jana aparad, anyone, offending them, giving them trouble, having malice, being disrespectful. So there are 10 offenses against chanting the holy name. And almost at every initiation, these 10 offenses are listed, because the first initiation is initiation into chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One formally takes vows to do that. But out of those 10, the easiest one, there are a few that are easy to fall into, but we'll just speak briefly about one. And the one we shall speak briefly about is Vaishnava aparad, or criticizing satam nindam paramam aparadam vitanute, means criticism of devotees, because a devotee is one who has taken shelter of Krishna, even though he may have thousands and he may have faults, but if he has this one quality of taking shelter, having taken shelter of Krishna, then he is considered a devotee, and one should be very careful in one's dealing with such a person, and one should not offend him. One should take it very seriously how to deal with such a person. And again, if he has the one quality of having surrendered to Krishna, made Krishna his shelter, there are 26 qualities of a devotee that are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If he has none of those, but has this one, if he lacks 25 qualities, but he possesses this one quality of having taken shelter of Krishna, one has to be extremely careful in dealing with such a soul. Making sure not to offend such a soul. But not only those great devotees, but we should be very careful in the dealings amongst all devotees. Because it's, first of all, it's very hard to tell who is really taking shelter of Krishna and who's. We're not going to sit here and judge what's going on in someone's mind and say, well, I think you haven't taken shelter of Krishna, therefore I can offend you. And I decided that you have taken shelter of Krishna, so I can't offend you. Let's see how many here this one has, this one has, and who are we to judge? That's Krishna's business. And also, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, Krishna explains, Api chetsudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadare vasamantavya samyak vyavasitai sa chipnam bhavati dhamatma shasvak chantim nagachati kanteya pratijani hi name bhakta pranasati. He explains that if my devotee, who is ananyabhak, which means that he has, again, the same point, he is undeviating in his conception of himself that I am Krishna's servant. That even if such a soul, even though one can't imagine such a soul doing something sudarachara or abominable, even if such a soul does something terrible, sadhur eva, Krishna says, that he is saintly. He must be considered a saint because he is ananyabhak, that he is so fully and completely taken shelter of me with no other shelter. And Krishna says, sadhur eva, and he will quickly become righteous. So one may say, well, if he's done something that improper, then I'll respect him as a sadhu, a holy person, when he rectifies his behavior. Natural to say that. But Krishna says no. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, our great acharya, has explained no. He's explained Krishna's mind that now he's a sadhu, even if he's doing something improper. So be extremely careful in with that tendency that we have to criticize devotees. Everyone, but especially devotees, because these are the aparads, or the offenses against the holy name, that cause us to lack a taste. And they cause us, when we chant the holy names, for to not get the result of chanting, for the mind to wander, to doubt, why am I doing this, to chant for a while and then think, then even though you may have some taste, then you stop chanting. So Mahaprabhu has explained this verse, Dudaivam, to show us what fortune is and what misfortune is, and how, if we become fortunate, we'll gain such great results, but we should be very careful, have knowledge, and be careful of the difference between that which will make us, will cause us to lose our taste for chanting. The caution is very strong in this regard. So when we chant Hare Krishna, the Shastras say that even one time, if we chant Hare Krishna, the results are so incredible. But that chanting has a quality to it. And the primary quality is that it should be without offenses. Especially Sato Nindam. Prabhupada also has said sometimes, especially Guru Avagya, or neglect of the instructions of one's spiritual master. Or sometimes given the primary place of offenses is Namno. Papa Buddhi, Namno Baladhyasya, Yes. Ipapabhuti na vidyate tasya yamarhu shuddhi. That if we commit sins or and then think, oh, chant Hare Krishna and get rid of the reactions to that, and then sin and then chant Hare Krishna to get rid of the reactions to that, then that is also a very grave namaparada. And also Harinama Kalpanam, to think that the glories of the holy name are imagination. Imaginary. So we should chant Hare Krishna very attentively and avoid committing offenses. We should get transcendental knowledge. We should be intelligent and extinguish our taste for the temporary. And we should overcome our weaknesses of heart by the mercy of Krishna. And then the result of chanting Hare Krishna will be there. The result again are those seven items mentioned in the first verse of this suggestion. And the key in this, and I also wanted to say actually that pramada, which means one translation of pramada is madness, is one of the offenses against the holy name, but that's also translated as inattentiveness. And therefore I keep on stressing how we should be attentive while we chant, and even the attempt to be attentive, even if we are not fully successful, even the attempt to be attentive is enough to inoculate us against inattentiveness. So we should be very careful and try to be attentive as we chant Krishna's names. So why don't we have a little bit of an attention practice just to remind us what we should be doing as we're chanting. So someone may also think that since it's an offense to be inattentive while chanting, and since I tend to be inattentive while chanting, therefore, what's the conclusion?
I should not
chant. That way I'll solve all my problems. But what's wrong with that? Huh? Yes, good point. By chanting, especially constantly, all the offenses will go away. What else is wrong with that logic? Yeah, Guru Vagya. And also, what else? Then you get nothing. It's like someone saying, if I get money, I might lose it. So therefore, I'll remain with no money and be very, very fortunate. You don't gain anything. He's lost. There's no attempt even. This is just a poor man's excuse. So if we have a tendency to be inattentive while chanting, we should try very carefully to avoid the offenses, including the lack of attentiveness. And we should try, make the attempt to control the rascal mind. Now, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, what's his instruction on controlling the mind? Shoes and brooms. Brooms in the morning and shoes at night, 100 times. What does that mean? What does that mean? Yes, you chant, oh, you rascal man, you've made me do this today, you've made me do that, you know, I don't want to do these things and you force me, I want to listen, you know, and you intimidate the mind in this way, and then it becomes somewhat, instead of becoming so big and powerful, it shrinks down to little and timid. So that was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's advice, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has different advice, and it's to pray to the mind, "My dear mind, please do not burn me in this way. Please take shelter of the Lord and His holy name." Things like that. Take shelter. Do not burn me with this type of hypocrisy by always trying to taste that which is not at all enjoyable. So by humbly submitting prayers to the mind. So it's probably a good idea to beat the mind in the morning with broomsticks, or the shoes in the morning and broomsticks at night, and in between during the day pray to the mind. Combine both techniques. "My dear mind, unfortunately, I don't have the prayers back in my room, but there's three very nice. There's Manas Shiksha. There's
I don't understand why it is that
No. But then you use the stick approach. Does it work? Huh? But the other one is also very, very, very good. But both together is excellent. Because sometimes if you get heavy with the mind, the next day the mind will grow twice as big and three times as big and give you 10 times as much trouble. And then if you pray to the mind, "Oh, my dear mind, please be kind to me and to yourself, and let us both taste the sweetness of chanting Krishna's holy name," then the mind will become cool. And it won't give you such a difficult time the next day. But you find what's best that works for you. But the point is not to beat the mind or to plead with the mind. The point is to chant attentively and be humble. That's the point.
How we are fortunate in chanting the holy name compared to previous ages. How Lord Chaitanya made us especially fortunate.
So the holy names always have their power. In every yuga they're the same. They are Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out to Kali, that Kali Yuga, you cannot practice, practically speaking, any other process. Because chanting Krishna's holy names is very simple. All you do is say Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's very simple. And in Kali Yuga, the curse of Kali is its greatest benediction. The curse of Kali is that everyone is continuously in anxiety, and that the material world will continuously give everyone trouble. You can count on it. The material world is built, especially in Kali Yuga, to give trouble. You can count on it. So there is no shelter in Kali Yuga. All shelters are taken away, either quickly or slowly. The body gives so much trouble. Families. In previous times it was so difficult for people to give up their families, but now people run from their families because they're no longer a shelter. I read in a newspaper recently that in Australia, 40%, I don't know what the rate is in Israel, but 40% of women will have an abortion and kill their child. 40%. and then suffer incredible guilt and depression after that. But 40%, that's one out of every two, practically speaking. Every other person will kill a child. Kill their own child. So there's no shelter even in the in one's parents, even in Kali Yuga. You're so terrible. So that misfortune in Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu points out to us, is the greatest fortune, because you don't look for shelter in material things, and there's always so much anxiety, and everyone's mind is so disturbed. So hold on tightly to the holy names. That's the mercy. This is how Srila Jiva Goswami explains it. Any other? We'll talk about that tomorrow. But we should know in that regard that Krishna will have no inclination to be merciful unless you or we put in our effort. Just like the parents may have so much money, and if the children are just spoiled brat, said, you don't know what that means. That's really American. Okay, now you can translate it into Hebrew for us. Yeah, if irresponsible, they know if they give the money to the children are just going to waste it and throw it away and spend it. So why would the parents do that? But if they see, if the parents, the wealthy parents, see that the children are very responsible and careful and making their own effort, then they see that they're trustworthy and that will give them so much wealth. So we have to put in our effort. The Sanskrit word is purishrama. We have to work. Otherwise, there's a Chinese saying that I don't know the Chinese of it, but it has to do with a man who's sitting by a tree, and a rabbit comes bouncing along down the road, and the rabbit bangs into the tree and dies, and the man is hungry, and he's not a vegetarian, so he eats the rabbit. So then, after that, he thinks, boy, life is going to be easy for me. Anytime I'm hungry, I'll just sit down by a tree and wait for a rabbit to bang into the tree. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to work, and then mercy will come, if Krishna wants. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
You mentioned the offense that fits in the glories of the Lord. I imagine.
Hare Nama Kalpanam.
But sometimes I must confess it's hard to overcome this in some regard. Sometimes when I can't read all the stories and other things.
I'm sorry, when you cannot?
How can you overcome in several cases where you read it, some of the stories seems to be kind of a nice mythology, but not beyond that? I mean, there are parts.
But this, you're talking about what? The holy name?
Not the holy name.
But that's the offense specifically is Hare Nama Kalpanam. To think that the glories of the holy name are imaginary, or imaginary, specifically imaginary. That, in other words, Krishna isn't the same as his holy name. And it's not possible to gain the highest realization by chanting Krishna's name. To think that where the scriptures say these things, it is just just saying it, but it's not really true. That's nama. That means You can't, unless you have faith that Krishna's holy names are Krishna, you may not have a full realization. Unless you have faith that Krishna's names are very powerful, how will you do it with any resolve? How will you do it? And when your mind starts wandering, instead of blaming your mind, you'll blame, what is this? What is this chanting Hare Krishna? Other questions or comments? Yeah. Not quite like, not exactly like that. You want to finish the question?
The question is, you know, sometimes I think, he's looking, so I have to do it. You know, sometimes I force myself to do it because, you know, this is how you do it, and you know, and I know that if I do it, will give me back. But I have a feeling that it's not really the point. I'm missing the point.
Yes, because who's the center when you think in that way? Who's the?
Because I want to get back.
So who's the center?
Yes.
So if we do things with ourselves as the center, it's not Krishna consciousness. It's not bhakti. Bhakti means acting to please Krishna. So that's not a very advanced stage, but it's pretty hard to get to an advanced stage without going through the preliminary stages.
Yeah.
So naturally you think like that, you know, in a selfish way. But gradually, you hopefully, we improve also. We understand that selfishness ultimately isn't what we're looking for. We're looking for love for Krishna. Love for Krishna means putting Krishna in the center. Not you have to, but it's hard not to. It's not like you should be selfish in the beginning, but you don't have to tell people to be selfish. They already are selfish. But Prabhupada used to use the term sometimes self-interest. So you can be acting for your own self-interest. And your self-interest is to learn how to love Krishna. And it doesn't have to be, you know, an intensely selfish experience, because helping others also could fit in that category. And that's, you know, the selfishness of that on a spiritual level is... what happens is we start off like that, and then you gain some benefit, but then the dissatisfaction comes because it's not actually the proper consciousness. And then you improve from there. You see something's wrong, and hopefully you better your practicing. It's like, yeah. But it's hard not to start there. Krishna even explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. Chaturbhi Nidhav Bhajante Mam Jana Supitino Arjuna Artigigyasuratati Jnani Cha Bharatasala. That there are four different classes of people who come to Krishna. They're all pious, because without being pious you can't come to Krishna. But they're self-interested. They are the distressed, the desire of wealth, the curious, and someone who desires knowledge. I want to get rid of my distress. I want to satisfy my curiosity. I want knowledge. I want wealth. I'm the center. But by acting, trying one's best to please Krishna in that way, one's purified. Because that will not satisfy. Bhakti means, and Bhagavad Dharma means, placing Krishna in the center, acting to please Him. That is what satisfies. Before we act, just like even when we chant, we chant, well, who am I chanting to please here? Am I chanting, okay, I feel good after I chant, I lose my anxiety? Well, that will happen. But if you chant to glorify Krishna, it's something completely different. And automatically you lose your anxiety and this happens. But it's not, it's a natural product, but it's not of the chanting, but it's not the purpose of your chanting. It's subtle, the difference. It will happen anyway, but it's not the driving force in your chanting. And you see in exalted devotees that if they become ecstatic, and that ecstasy gets in the way of their service to Krishna, they want the ecstasy to go away. They're not doing it even for the ecstasy. They're doing it because they love Krishna. They prefer to please Krishna than feeling ecstatic. Any other questions or comments? Then why don't we just chant a little bit? Why should we chant? Yeah, why not? Yes, show our love. Think of something that you have. Think of something that you're thankful for. For Krishna. But be attentive. That's the point that we're really stressing now. Because the central issue is the mind. And unless we confront the mind, it's very difficult to advance. So what will we do now? We'll chant and try to listen. Yeah. Excuse me? It's natural to want to be with Krishna. Just like if someone says, what are you doing now? I'm breathing. Oh, you're so selfish. You're breathing. But you can't take it to such an extreme as that. That's the natural thing everyone does. They breathe, okay? Leave me alone. I breathe. It's natural. So it's natural for the soul to want to be with Krishna. But if you want to be with Krishna for a selfish reason, with me in the center, that won't get you to be with Krishna. So therefore the devotees pray, Mahaprabhu prays even, Janmani Janmani Shvare Bhavad Tad Bhakti Ahaitaki Tai, that even if I have to stay in this world birth after birth, in your service, that's all I care about, that I'm serving you. When the four Kumaras or Jayan Vijay had to go to the material world, all they said was, please, our only request is that we don't forget you, Krishna. So yes, it's natural to want to be with Krishna. But that desire to be with Krishna will gradually be purified, so it's actually based on loving Him rather than, I just want to get out of the material world, so let me be with Krishna. Stuff, things like that. But gradually, when love for Krishna is there, then everything is very natural. So let it happen gradually. Is that okay? Do you want to be with Krishna? That's good. That's very good. Do you know what service you would like to do? You don't have to say, huh? No, you have to decide what you want. One time, one devotee asked Prabhupada that. Or one prophet said to the devotee, what would you like to do in the spiritual world? And they answered, any service. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, know what you want to do.
There's a question.
we can't. But I don't know what you mean by our stage. Why is everyone laughing? But also, whatever stage we are at today may not be the stage we're at, and hopefully it won't next year, and the year after, and the year after, and the year after. So, if we chant properly, we'll make advancement. So let's just try a little chanting. So what? We just try and listen. Let's try and listen. Okay? Try get tell you. You can either beat your mind with a broomstick, or you can say, "My dear mind, please." Please, enough. Just let me hear one mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How are you doing? I found in the first two, my mind didn't want to even bother, but then after a while, how did you do? This one first. No, no, you can come out from behind the pillar. I know you're there anyway. Yes.
It was better in the beginning.
And then it... What did your mind think? Hey, I'm chanting so nicely.
Yeah, he said you just finished your quota.
One round, one mantra. Okay. One mantra is enough. And then what happened next?
I tried.
How did you do? But if you keep trying, the mind will get the picture. And how did you do? You able to listen most of the time? How did you do? Can you listen with a child on your lap? Were any of the children chanting? I thought I heard someone chanting back there. This one? Oh, very nice. Gopal. Gopal, what is your name?
Gopal.
Very good. Must be the star on his head. How old are you? How did you do?
Thank you.
the mind suddenly boring topic.
And what do you tell your mind when it does says that? Just say, okay, yeah, it's very boring. Just one mantra, that's all I ask. Just listen to this mantra. Because actually it's not boring. How did you do? Heard yourself saying in a very, very simple, actually. It's actually quite simple. And how did you do?
Well, it said I'm pretty butter and I always have to move, and that's pretty disturbing when I try to listen. But there were times that I kind of tried to focus on some of the spots in the mind, and then it's much easier.
Yeah. What I've found is the, especially for all us butter people, that the most important word to hear is the first one. Hear that first Hari. How did you do?
Did the first one.
Yeah.
And then my mind
went. It's hard when you have a computer screen open in front of you. That doesn't help. Vyas, how did you do? Why don't we just chant three mantras? Okay, tell your mind only three mantras. Just listen. Okay? Did you tell your mind? Okay. But listen. Okay? Nanda Padmi? Okay? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One more.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, now you understand. Let's just keep telling your mind, one more, one more, one more. Because the mind is very simple, actually. Very simple. It's gross. It's not, it's tricky, but it's simple. How did you do in that chanting, Odari? Disappointed, only thing. Well, you can keep chanting then. How did you do, Prabhu? Better than before.
Yeah, before I had many things coming up. So now I was waiting for those things to come up. So it's like this. See them coming, so they stop.
How did you do, Maya? Huh? Good. And you? And you? Hello? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Pretty good, huh?
Okay.
And you? You? That's the trick. Don't think. Just say, every time your mind says, what do you think? Or something comes up, say, no, yes, later. Now I'll just listen. If you can be that determined, it will come. You just stay up.
Living place. Then for the first mantra,
I don't want it. Dirt dive on the
Drizam. Because it's so calm. I don't know.
And what did you say to your mind?
Huh?
What did you say to your mind when it said, I don't want?
You
know what you should say to your mind? But just say only one mantra. Just listen to one mantra. Sometimes you think, oh, I have to chant 16 rounds. Oh, No. Just try to listen to one mantra. One mantra. What time is it now?
8:30.
We should stop here. Next time what? That, oh. Yeah. Next time. Thank you very much. Thanks. And next time is Friday. And next time after that is Sunday night.